Where I work, I am in charge of the in-house music and radio, which I guess makes sense because where I work, I'm pretty much responsible for anything that uses electricity. Electric stapler? Postage machine, rather? Computers, printers, thermocyclers that separate DNA from buccal swabs? Doesn't matter if it uses electricity, it's broke.
What worse got?
That's okay, though. Somebody's got to do it, right? And speaking of where I work, but yeah, that'll get pulled out of the DVD and added to our playlist. I don't know if they know it or not. Again, talking when I should probably be quiet. The song they did together not long ago, it's in the playlist. It gets requested. Yeah. Play that one by your kids again. Now, that don't please me one little bit, does it? I'm sitting here trying to find the people in my Sunday school class. I think one's in the nursery. Our Sunday school class is a little different, not to spend a whole lot of time on it. Pretty much the only ministry we have to people in that age bracket is this Sunday school class. So our Sunday school class is somewhat like an independent study. Would that be a proper way of putting it, school teacher friend over there? Sometimes we spend more time on prayer requests and fellowships. We may have food, had some Chinese dumplings a few weeks ago. And basically I provide a study guide that I'll give them, and we'll talk about it if we have time, or we'll talk about it the next time. So sometimes we're a little behind. But I will sort of share with them some events of the week, the end of the week in particular. And Andrew's like, well, having already heard that, I know why he's preaching on what he's preaching on. It's not uncommon when a man stands before you and brings a message from the Word of God that he's sharing something that he desperately needed. And sometimes if it takes you long enough to chase it and track it down, I'm going to share this with somebody. Okay? So there's a little bit of that going on. But have you ever had one of those moments when you just had something on your mind and you just really wanted to share it? Have you ever had that moment? It's possible I've had that experience a few times recently. Yeah, I think we've all had those moments when we want to speak, but we know, or at least strongly suspect, we should keep our thoughts to ourselves. At least for the moment. Anybody not had that moment? Anybody raises their hand, I'm going to say, liar. Liar. You have too. But words are powerful, and we kind of need to manage how we use them and when they use them. I was preparing this, and I had an example about a man named Lou Gehrig. And I'm like, Scott, you're old, buddy. If you have no idea who Lou Gehrig is, raise your hand. Y'all know who Lou Gehrig is? Okay. I ain't talking about the disease. But but you're right. He does have a disease. but let's put it this way. Lou Gehrig was one of the best baseball players of the previous century. You know, the one that Monty and I were born in. The previous one. He was a baseball star back when we did it without performance-enhancing drugs, when you just man up and did it. But back in 2005, a man named Ted Pollack, you'll like this, Mac, he was in your industry, he wrote an article in a leadership newsletter for an automotive journal. And the title of it was Give Instructions in Small Doses. This is not the Lou Gehrig part. That comes after this. I'm a little confused, but anyhow, y'all bear with me. But he wrote an article for an automotive journal, and in it he said, or the title of it was, Give Instructions in Small Doses. Give Instructions in Small Doses. And I think his thoughts have application outside the automotive industry in our everyday life. Here's a bit of what Pollack had to say, and I'll quote him. When you have complex instructions to give, particularly to inexperienced workers, don't overwhelm them by explaining everything at once. Having trained guys in the shop, I bet Mac does find that to be true in the automotive industry especially. Explain one portion at a time, making sure the employee understands it before you go to the next instruction. Well, I think that's excellent advice for all of life, and that's exactly what we see God doing in the book of Proverbs. If you would, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 10. You're going to need that in just a minute. But a great number of these proverbs, or small doses of wisdom, deal with our words. Okay? Our words. Many of the problems in life occur because we say the wrong thing, we say it maybe at the wrong time, or maybe in the heat of the moment, we just say it in the wrong way. You know, you can say the right thing at the right time the wrong way, and that makes it the wrong thing, doesn't it? Because it doesn't communicate. Think about it for a second. A 30-second tirade can damage a 30-year career, a 30-year marriage, and especially a 30-year reputation, can it? Just in a little 30-second tirade, you can damage all those things. Well, as he wrote the Proverbs, Solomon was aware of the power of the tongue. That's why so many of them deal with our words. And when we read his thoughts on this subject, what we're going to find is he's given us God's wisdom in small, small doses. So if you would, I'm going to ask at this time if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative word. Isn't that right, Gary? We're in Proverbs chapter 10, read verses 19 through 21. Proverbs chapter 10. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these proverbs, dear Lord. We thank you for the wise ones you inspired to write these, dear Lord. We thank you for Solomon and the wisdom you gave him that he penned it so he could share it with us, Father. We pray that you'd help us as we look at just these three verses, dear Lord, that you'd help us to see some of your instructions for our words, how to use them, when to use them, why to use them, dear Lord. Pray you just add your blessing to the reading of your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. In those three verses, I believe that we find at least three small doses of wisdom. Now, the first thing that I believe that God is telling us in these three verses is this. Shut up. I love standing up here and seeing the looks on faces. I honestly believe that. God is telling us, shut up. Now, you'll see why I chose that particular expression for this when I get to my second point. They kind of rhyme. But some verses tell us in plain English that we need to be cautious about what we say. In other words, there's times that we should not miss the opportunity to keep our mouth shut. I miss a lot of those opportunities, too. I'm working on that. But if you would, allow me to share three of my favorite ways that the Bible tells Scott to zip his lip. They're all in Proverbs. Proverbs 17:27 tells us, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. That's actually a verse that the guy in the office with me, he and I have chosen this to be the verse for the place where we work. Proverbs 19:11. Proverbs 26:20 tells us, Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Ouch. That one kind of stings a little bit, doesn't it? But folks, we're talking about necessities and privileges in Sunday school, talking about Alcatraz earlier today. And there are certain things that are necessary for life and certain things that aren't. And the things that are necessary for life are food, water, and protection. You know, sometimes we call that one shelter. Mind if I share a few things with you that are not life necessities? And I struggle with this, as I'm sure many of you do. It is not a life necessity stating our opinion on every subject. It's not a life necessity having the last word in every argument. Hey guys, I can tell you how to have the last word in the next argument you have with your wife. You just try this and see if it doesn't end it. I'm sorry. That'll do it every time. It's not a life necessity demanding our way in every discussion, is it? This one's a tough one. It's not a necessity of life defending ourselves from every criticism. We live without doing that, can't we? And it's not a life necessity to just draw a line on every issue. Some people think every discussion is a hill to die on. And it is not. Sometimes we need to keep our thoughts and our words to ourselves. So the first small dose of wisdom that God's given us here are shut up. Okay, that rhymes. You keep up with that one. The second dose is this. After shut up, He wants us to build up. Sometimes we can build up if we would just shut up, couldn't we? But sometimes it's not enough to be quiet. God has not called us to take a vow of silence like some kind of medieval monk. Now, has He? He gave us a remarkable capacity for human language because He wants us to use it to build others up. That's what it's for. In the Proverbs, in Proverbs 10, verse 11, the Bible says, "The mouth of the righteous is a well of life." Proverbs 12:18, second sentence in it, "But the tongue of the wise promotes health." Now we'll talk about Lou Gehrig, the guy with the disease, Andrew. He was a baseball player, obviously, and when he early in his career, he experienced a slump. And he grew so discouraged because of this slump, he actually thought of quitting baseball, which, Steve, you saw more of his career than I did, obviously. Would that have not been, and I'm not being mean to him, I'll be mean to you, Monty. I'll be laughing at Steve, he's my buddy. But can you imagine baseball without the likes of Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle, or even back Ty Cobb? It just wouldn't have been the same, Babe Ruth. Well, he was so discouraged, he thought about quitting. And he had a friend named Paul Critchell. And he heard about Lou, how he was slumping. He took a train to Hartford, where Lou lived, and invited him to join him for a steak dinner at a place called the Bond Hotel. And if you lived in Hartford, you'd know where that was. But Lou poured out his frustrations, and Paul could see that the man's confidence was just completely shot. He spent the entire evening trying to explain to Lou that all hitters go through slumps, even the best ones, even like a man like Ty Cobb. They don't get 6 or 7 hits out of every 10 tries. That's just not realistic. But he explained to him, all good hitters start hitting again. And then Paul told him the most important part. He said, "And you're a good hitter." Well, after the dinner, Gehrig walked him to the train station and he thanked him for coming. The very next day, Lou started hitting the ball again. He started blasting it. As a matter of fact, over the next 11 games, he had 22 hits, 6 of which were home runs. It was at this point that his career really took off, and he never looked back. This was the beginning of his superstardom, if you will. Gehrig was quoted as saying, after talking to his friend Paul, "I decided not to quit after all." The power of words build up. You know, folks, I firmly believe that sometimes we might need to get on a train, track somebody down, by mistake, and encourage them with wise, godly counsel. That's what our words are for. That's why God gave us this capacity for speech and human language, things like that. You know, imagine human language has been around for a while, and then they invented papyrus, and they could start writing things down. And from there, you progress over thousands of years, and now we have social media. I could literally get a message of encouragement in front of 100,000 people before the sun goes down, just by using creative tags on things like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. We have an audience. All we have to do is tap into it. If we start looking at God's small doses of wisdom, we'll see that sometimes, indeed, we do need to shut up. Other times, we need to build up. But finally, we'll see sometimes, in some occasions, we do indeed need to speak up. Okay? That is necessary from time to time. There are times when it needs to happen. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. "Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Speak up for others, not always for yourself. Because usually when I speak up for myself, I'm aggravated, or I'm selfish, or something like that. But speaking up doesn't have to be all up in somebody's face. It can be with humility and still with grace. And with all the political things going on, I hate it, but the best example of this I could think of comes from 1955. A little seamstress in Montgomery, Alabama. We know her name. It was Rosa Parks. The Montgomery that she lived in was a segregated place. And I studied up on this and found out some things about this story I never really knew. One day when Rosa got on the bus, she actually went to the black section of the bus, which was several rows of the bus. And she took the first available seat in the black section of the bus. Well, a few stops later, as you know, the bus filled up. The bus driver demanded that she give her seat to him. She was in the black section of the bus, but she was in the most desirable seat in the black section of the bus, closer to the white section of the bus. The bus driver demanded her to give up that seat, and she spoke four simple words that changed the history of this nation. "No, I will not." You know, there are times that we might need to speak those words, reckon? People wanting us to do things, go along with things. We don't have to make a big scene. I mean, she ended up making a scene, but it wasn't her fault. But just a simple, "No, I will not." You know, kind of like in the book of Daniel, where they were putting things before Daniel, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We need to purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves. Rosa purposed that she wasn't going to degrade herself any further. She had done what the law said she had to do. There were laws in place to put her in that section of the bus. But when asked to be subservient in a way that she was not bound in any way to do, "No, I will not." She wasn't just protecting a seat on a bus. She was making a point, starting a movement that helped people, that changed our nation. Four simple words basically launched the civil rights movement in this country. "No, I will not." Think of it this way. If a lightning bolt struck a transformer near our house. Pray the Lord it don't happen where I work, because all the electric stuff. But if it struck a transformer near your house, it could send a power surge of electricity into your house. It could fry your computer, your big screen TV, could fry your cooking utensils. I know that wouldn't be a tragedy to some of you guys. But it could just destroy all these appliances in your home that use electricity, wouldn't it? That's why we have things like circuit breakers, right? And surge protectors, because they'll interrupt the flow before damage is done. I think these verses in Proverbs, could these be circuit breakers and surge protectors for the soul that might interrupt the flow when sometimes it's like the mouth opens way before the brain engages? Folks, the air around us is full of static with anger and things like that, isn't it? Social atmospheres change as often as the weather. I think we need to install some of today's verses as spiritual circuit breakers, committing them not just to memory, but to conscious thought. We need to become more like Jesus. Let's face it, no one ever spoke like Jesus. Jeannie, I'm going to ask you and Miss Vicky to go ahead and make your way up this way, if you would. The great secret to the book of Proverbs is that in describing the wise person, it offers us a portrait that was perfectly fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? In His manner, in His speech, in all ways, we see Jesus. We know there were times that Jesus shut up when He was being accused. He made them mad because He wouldn't respond to them. We see Him build up, don't we? You know, everybody wants to hit you with rocks, baby. I'm just going to look at you and we'll help you up. You go and sin no more. But then there were times that He needed to speak up. And if you were a money changer in a temple, you probably wasn't real happy when that happened, were you? We see all these lived out in Jesus' life. Everything in this book of Proverbs, we see Jesus fulfill these things and live them out. Would you receive Him as your Savior so that you can grow up into Him in all ways? Can we let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in His sight? Miss Jeannie, what number are we going to sing?
480.
You go ahead and be looking for 480. If you have anything you need to do business with God on, if you need salvation, I'll be down here. Our deacons will be down here. If you need somebody to pray with, I'll be here. Our deacons will be here. If you'd rather pray with a lady, I'll go ahead and start recruiting some of them right now too. Whether you're deacons' wives or just godly women, Sunday school teachers, it's all right if you come pray with these folks. Some people are more comfortable praying with a woman if they're a woman. If God's drawing you into that first-time relationship with Him, it just thrills us to death. If you just step forward, take one of us by the hand, let us pray with you and show you what God would have you do. I'm going to ask if you'd stand, bow your head. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Miss Jeannie is going to lead us in number
480.
Father, we thank You for the Proverbs, dear Lord. Thank You for the godly counsel and wisdom, dear Lord, that You give us in these small doses so that we can understand them, Father. Pray that You'd help us, that in Christ we can see the fulfillment of all these things, dear Lord. Pray there's any here that have never accepted You, dear Lord, they'd be drawn by Your Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Ms. Jeannie?